I just have had on the inside of me to talk about the Holy Spirit and His ministry in our lives. And so we're just going to talk about some things and remind ourselves of some things about the Holy Spirit and His ministry and what He does for us and through us. And, you know, are you Spirit-led, Spirit-filled people? Is the Holy Spirit, is he active in your life? Are you aware of His presence in your life? Well, the Holy Spirit, He wants Himself to be known to you. He wants to be known by you, and he wants to manifest Himself through you and to you. And so I just want to talk a little bit about Him tonight and hope that you can hear me as I do. Praise God. Well, you know, the Spirit of God is the part of God who's here on the earth with us. He is God with us, and He's, you know, the part of God. He is the working arm, you know, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We know that the Father sits on the throne, that the Son is seated at His right hand, but the Holy Spirit is the busy one. He's busy here among us, and He's busy here upon us, working in us and through us here in the earth. And so He's the one on the earth. You know, we may say our Father who art in heaven, but we can't say our Holy Spirit who is in heaven, because He is here on the earth among us and upon us. And, you know, one of the things that I like to take note of is the fact that the Holy Spirit, as revealed in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit revealed in the New Testament, He has a different ministry, and He works a different way in the New Testament. Under the Old Covenant, He just kind of came in for a little, you know, cameo appearance every now and then He was on His way. You know, God's people pretty much lived under the instruction of the law, and every now and then the Holy Spirit would show up upon certain people, predominantly the priest, or the king, or the prophet, and He'd come and visit them, come upon them, maybe for just a little moment, a little time, a few moments, and do some great work, and then He would go. But He didn't come and live and dwell and abide in people, or even on people to stay. And He never, ever came to abide in people. He did come on them every now and then for a certain purpose or task, but He never hung out with them. But see, in the New Testament, it's an altogether different story. Because of our redemption from sin, because of what Jesus did, the Holy Spirit has now come not to just visit, make a little cameo appearance every now and then, but actually come and now dwells in us. And sometimes you just have to remind yourself that God is in me. Say that. God is in me. God is in me. He's in us. He is in us, and He is on us. And He is in us and on us to stay. He is with us. He's not coming in and out, darting, you know, in and out. He is here, and He is here for a purpose, for some fabulous, awesome purposes in our lives. And so I'm so glad that our redemption from sin opened the door for God to come and to live in us. Because for the first time ever on the day of Pentecost, God came to live within mortal men. And it was an awesome day that He came to live in us. And that same day, He also came to live upon us. So it was just an awesome thing. But, you know, we really get familiar with this New Testament ministry of the Holy Spirit over in the book of John. Jesus, they're speaking at the Last Supper, He introduced the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And He taught His disciples some things. And I want to look at some of the things He taught His disciples about the Holy Spirit. I know early on in the first couple years of this ministry, you know, right after we started the church, we did a lot of teaching from the words of Jesus in John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And I look back at that time and I see what a foundation even that was in my life, what the foundation was, you know, in both of our lives, as far as really getting grounded in the fact that the Holy Spirit, He is here with us, and He's here for a purpose, knowing what His purposes are and learning to cooperate and work with Him in our lives, learning to flow with His ministry, because there is no ministry on this earth beyond the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You're not like in the ministry and then there's the Holy Spirit over there and every now and then He visits your ministry. No, there is no ministry beyond the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so I just know in my own life this has meant everything to me. And it's meant everything to the ministry of this church, to know and understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how to work with Him and how to cooperate with Him. Because that's really, as a minister, and all of us are ministers, as ministers of reconciliation, that's our job, is just to get in flow with Him and cooperate with Him and what He's doing. And I tell you, excellent, marvelous things will happen. But over in John, the book of John, chapter 16, Jesus said something startling. He says in verse 7, he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." And I like the way he said that. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." It's like he's about to tell you something that you're going to think he's lying. And that's why he tells you up front, you know, "I'm telling you the truth." You know, have you ever been talking to somebody and you go, "Oh, no, seriously." Or, "No, look, I'm not, I swear to God." You probably shouldn't say that. You probably, you might slap your kid's hand for saying that. I don't know. But, you know, the kind of thought of, "Look, now, look, no fooling here." And that's what he's saying to him. "Look, nevertheless, this is the truth, what I'm about to tell you. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And Jesus was telling his disciples, and really thereby telling us, that there we were going to have an advantage by him leaving the earth, him physically departing from the earth, because when he departed, he was going to make a way for the Holy Spirit to come to us. Someone was going to come to us, the Helper, and that Helper is the Holy Spirit. He's called here. Holy Spirit here is called the Helper. And the reason Jesus called him the Helper was this. He wanted you and me to know that the purpose for the Holy Spirit coming was to be a help to us. And he is. He's come to be a help to us. And it is really to your advantage that Jesus ascended on high. It's to my advantage. It's to our... We have an advantage tonight that Jesus is not here in the flesh. It is to our advantage that Jesus ascended on high, because when he went, he sent us something better than having him here in the flesh. He sent us the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit who enabled him to do the mighty works he did. That same Holy Spirit has been sent now, and he lives forever within me and within you. What an awesome thing. And so the Holy Spirit, and he's here to help us. Now, the word that's used here, translated from the Greek, helper, and it's used several times in what Jesus is saying. In the Greek, it's the word paraclete, and that word in the Greek, paraclete, in the English, should be translated, it's translated helper. It's literally one who has been called to your side to help. And that's who he is. Imagine that's what Jesus, I'm just get a picture of this. Jesus is going to describe to us now God in us, and God for us, and God among us, the Holy Spirit. And when he describes him, the best way he knows to describe him is to call him the one who's here alongside you to help you. And you think about that. You think of all the notions that people have of God and who he is and what his purpose is and why he would, you know, be among, you know, is he just here to be worshipped? Is he just here to be, you know, to be reverenced? Is he just here to be feared? Is he just here, you know, as the hall monitor? No, he's here to be a help to every person. He's here to help. Say, he's here to help me. He's here. He's been called along your side, you know, alongside you, right near and actually inside of you. He's been called there, appointed there, sent by Jesus from on high for the very purpose of helping you. Do any of you need help? I don't know about you, but I need a whole lot of help. And it seems like the days that go, you know, as days go by, I just am more convinced of the fact that I need help. I'm so glad that we have help. And it's not just any old help. It's not just help that, you know, just kind of nobody else showed up, so here they are. No, this is the very help you need. This is the all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful one. He's the one who's here to help. Now we can just kind of breathe a little sigh of relief. That's who's here to help. And he's the helper. Now, Jesus in these chapters described the many roles that the Holy Spirit would play in our lives. And over back a few verses in chapter 15 and verse 26, I'm going to read to you from the Amplified. He said this, he said, "But when the Comforter, the Counselor," now he's describing this helper, and now he's using some other words to describe him. First one he uses is Comforter, and he goes on and says, "The Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Strengthener, the Intercessor, the Standby, when he comes, whom I will send to you from the Father." Again, he's telling you, the Holy Spirit's a gift to you. I'm sending him on from the Father. "The Spirit of Truth, who comes and proceeds from the Father, he will testify regarding me." Jesus is telling us a little more about how he's going to help us. How is he going to help us? Well, he's going to help us by being an advocate, an intercessor. He's going to help you by strengthening you, by comforting you, counseling you, and standing by you. Anybody ever need anybody to stand by you? He's there to stand by you. And he's here as an advocate. You know, an advocate is an attorney. It's like an attorney or someone who would go with you. go in your behalf and go with you into a court of law. Well, the Holy Spirit is an advocate in our behalf. He goes with us to the Father to help us obtain whatever it is we need. And, you know, sometimes when you're going to the Father to obtain something, you may think you don't deserve it. You may think you don't know how to get it. You may think you don't have enough faith for it. You may have all these thoughts about why it is that really, even though you're going to the Father to get it, you're not quite sure how or what or whatever. But the Holy Spirit, as your advocate, when He goes with you, He will show you how to get what it is you need. He'll help you ask for it. He'll show you lead you and guide you into the Scriptures that promise it to you. He'll show you and remind you of your redemption in Christ, which is what made you worthy to receive it in the first place. He's there as your advocate. Thank God. Over in Romans chapter 8, you're probably familiar with the scripture, verse 26, where it talks about how He intercedes or makes intercession for us, or He mediates for us. When there's a time, He stands between us and whatever is coming against us. He makes intercession for us in our weakness, in a time of weakness, when we're unable to pray as we ought, when we don't know how to do what we need to do. When we're ignorant and aren't sure how to proceed, He's there to make intercession for us. Thank God for that. He is, Ephesians 3 tells us, He is the one who strengthens us on the inside by His mighty power. And His mighty power is really dynamite power, dynamic power. And it's not just any old power, it's divine, God's power. He strengthens us on the inside with God's very ability. Any of y'all need that kind of strength? Any of y'all like run out of your own ability like 6 months ago? Well, God has divine ability, and He infuses it into us by way of the Holy Spirit. And that's what He's in there for, is to strengthen you. So, you know, there are times when you're weak, when you're failing. There are times when you've come up short, where you've just royally messed up, where you have fallen short. That's when you need strengthening with His mighty power near to man. And He's in there, and He's in there day and night, night and day. And He's not like just coming in and coming out. He's there all the time, and He's there as a strengthener to strengthen you. And whatever life brings your way, there's strength inside of you to handle whatever life brings your way. Whatever comes, come what may, the strengthener Himself is resident inside of you with all the power, all the strength that you need, all the ability that you need. Even though you yourself may be inadequate, He makes you more than adequate because He strengthens you with God's mighty power in your inner man. And it starts out in your inner man, but it doesn't just stay in there. It flows out. It even, the Bible says even in Romans 11, that He even makes alive our mortal bodies. He'll give strength to, the Amplified says that He will infuse life into your mortal body. So it may start out in your inner man, but then it comes and it starts to encompass all of your life, even to the very flesh and bones and blood of your body, the Holy Spirit infusing you with God's ability, God's power. That's all part of His strengthening in you. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's the greatest gift you got, because you might say salvation, but you know, salvation even comes about as the Holy Spirit moves in on the inside of you and recreates you and makes you a new person. But I'm telling you, what an awesome gift we have in the Holy Spirit moving inside of us, because God is in us. He's in there strengthening us. He's in there making us able for whatever it is that we need to be able to do, able to stand, able to say, whatever it is. He's in there making us able. 2 Corinthians 1:4 talks about the comfort of God and how God, He wants to comfort us, and not just comfort us a little bit, but He wants to comfort us to the point, His plan is to comfort you to the point that you have more than enough comfort so you can share your overabundance of comfort with others. And the Holy Spirit is the comforter. And He comforts us, and He encourages us, even in times of trouble, even in tribulation, even in a trial. That's when you really need it. And there was a time in my life where I related the Bible concept of comfort to grief. And maybe at a time when you lost a loved one and you needed, you know, maybe you were sad or in grief over a loved one dying. But, the more I've lived in life, I've realized you need comfort a lot more. There are many more times than just, at grandma's funeral. You need comfort just, I mean, our kids need comfort getting on the school bus. You need comfort just living life. I mean, some days you walk in on the job and you just need comfort to open the door and get in. You need encouragement. You ever left the office or left your job and on the way home you were discouraged by what happened that day? Well, thank God for the Holy Spirit. He's in you as the comforter, and part of the job and the role of the comforter is to encourage you. And He will encourage you from the inside. And see, the really wonderful thing is He actually knows what happened. You don't have to like tell Him all your troubles, because He was there and He knew. And He knew already, and He knows just what to say, just how to comfort you, just how to encourage you, just what needs to be said or done. And the really good thing about His comfort is He doesn't just, you know, kind of just pat you and saying, there, now, dear. One of the greatest ways He comforts you is by helping you turn things for the better, by giving you insight and wisdom about how to make a change and leading you to a better way of life. That's one way He comforts you. So it's not just, praise God. Now, over in chapter 14, let's look. Jesus is telling us about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in chapter 14, verse 26. It says here, basically, but the Helper, referring again here to the Holy Spirit, He will teach you all things, because it says, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you. When the Holy Spirit shows up, one of the reasons He's come there is to teach you all things. And He will cause you to recall, and the Amplified says that He will remind you of and bring to your remembrance everything I've told you. Really, the Holy Spirit has been given, sent from on high to live in us, to tutor us in the Scriptures, and to help us to remember what we hear and what we learn, to tutor us in whatever area where we're lacking knowledge, but particularly when it comes to spiritual matters and kingdom living. When you need to know how to be a Christian, the Holy Spirit inside you is your God-given tutor to teach you how to be a Christian. When you need to know how to receive from your benefit package, the salvation plan, you need to know how to receive from what God's Word promises you. The Holy Spirit is your tutor, God-given tutor living inside of you, tutoring you, helping you, showing you how to appropriate God's promises and have them come to pass in your life. Because, you know, other people can teach you from what their knowledge is, and other people can share with you from their experience. That's what I do here, you know, on a regular basis. That's what pastor's doing. You know, other people do that. But I'm telling you, there's sometimes you just have a situation that it's just you and your situation, and what are you going to do? Well, I tell you what you can do. You can look on the inside, because the tutor's in there, and he's ready to tutor. The class has started. The bell's ringing. Listen up. He's in there and He'll tutor you. And even the things that other people have taught you from their experience, or the things that you've learned from the Word from even times gone by, just at the very moment you need it, He's in there bringing it up, helping you recall it, telling you, you remember now how this applies. I don't know how many times in my life I've been in situations where I'm dealing with something and suddenly something I heard like a long time ago, I read in a book 4 weeks ago or 6 months ago or something, just a little piece of something will come to me, and suddenly I learn a big lesson just in a moment of time because the tutor went to teaching me. And that's part of His job as the teacher inside of us, teaching us all things. So there's not anything that's beyond your grasp of learning with the Holy Spirit tutor inside of you, teaching you. And I'm telling you, when you realize the tutor is on the inside of you, the teacher is on the inside of you, it kind of revolutionizes and speeds up your spiritual growth. Because instead of always looking out in the, you know, outside of yourself and looking out here for somebody else to teach you, if you start looking to the Holy Spirit inside of you to teach you, you can learn at a much more rapid pace. Because here's the deal: He knows what learning style you have. He knows where your weak areas are. He knows what you already know, and He can build upon that foundation. He knows what you need to know. Here's the really great thing: He knows what's up ahead that you need to be prepared for, and He can go ahead and teach you now. He knows what's on the test. See, He's looked in the future and seen the test, and He can prepare you today for the tests that are ahead. So it's a really good thing to learn to flow with the tutor, the Holy Spirit teacher inside of you, so you can be prepared when you get to the test. You already have learned. You've already been prepared. And then right there, it's really great to have the tutor on the test with you. He's there on the test helping you recall what it was you studied. and showing you how to do it. I mean, just think what a marvelous asset the Holy Spirit is in our life. He is a tremendous asset for us. Thank God for that. Now, back over to chapter 16, another verse over here. I encourage you to read through these chapters in John. John chapter 13, 14, well, especially starting here in chapter 14, 15, 16, 17. I really encourage you to read these scriptures and these passages because you'll learn so much about the Holy Spirit and His work in our lives. In John chapter 16 and verse 13, I'm going to read here again in the Amplified Bible. It says, "But when He," speaking of the Holy Spirit, "the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit," I'm telling you, that's something I really appreciate about the Holy Spirit, is He gives you the truth. He gives it to you straight. He doesn't fudge on things. You know, other people, they kind of slant everything. But now the Holy Spirit, He just gives it to you plain and simple, and it's the truth, and you can count on it. And here's the other thing. If you will receive the truth from Him, Jesus said over in the book of John, He said that when you know the truth will make you free. So you could say, because He's the truth-giving Spirit, you could say this, He's the freedom-giving Spirit. Because if you'll embrace the truth that He brings, whatever it is, even if it seems a little painful and like we don't want to go there, if you will embrace the truth that He brings in your life, then you can walk free. It doesn't matter what you're bound in. If you'll embrace the truth that He brings to you and you'll receive it from Him as truth and say, you know, that's not the way my daddy thought. That's not the way I used to think. It's not the way that, you know, I was taught in Sunday school. But I realize it's the truth. I see it in the Word. This is the truth you're tutoring me in. And you grab hold of the truth-giving Spirit will give you freedom. If you embrace the truth and know the truth and acknowledge it as the truth and you act on the truth, you'll be free in whatever area of your life it's in. And I'm going to tell you, you're not so bound in any area that you can't go free with the truth-giving Spirit. There's nothing binding you that you can't break free from if you'll embrace the truth. And the source of the truth is the truth-giving Spirit, the Spirit of the truth, and He always works right here in the Word, which is the truth. You get the Spirit of truth hooked up with the Word that's truth, and you get that all working together for you. You'll go free. Praise God. So that's the deal with Him. And so anyway, it goes on to say, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will guide you into all the truth." He will guide you into all the truth. Now, we just came back from a tour up through the Canadian Rockies, and to be honest with you, we'd never been there, and I didn't know anybody I could ask who'd been there. I knew some folks that had lived in the area, but it had been years and years, and they couldn't remember much about it. And so you know what I did? I went out to the bookstore. I went to several bookstores. I can't even remember which bookstore I bought in, but I'd go to the travel section and I'd look in the travel section for books on, you know, the Canadian Rockies and the places we were going. And so I looked through them. I had a stack of books. I spent several hours one Monday afternoon looking through these books, trying to decide which one of these books I was going to use as my guide. And I found a book and I bought it. This book was $20. And I was buying it, I was going, man, that's a lot of money for this book. But do you know how worth $20? Do you know how much that book was worth? It was worth well more than $20 when I got up there. Because we're driving on a road. We're driving on the Icefields Parkway. It's the highest road in North America. We're going up this road. Now, the incredible thing about this road is, if you know where to look, you will see sights that will make your drawl just hit your chest. Honestly, I mean, the most beautiful things I've ever seen. But if you don't know where to look, you just miss it. Because it's just, you know, a 10-minute hike off the road, but it's not on the road. And so if I don't know to stop, pull over here, and get off and hike over there, I miss the whole thing. You know, they don't have huge signs that say the most beautiful lake on earth. They don't have that. There's just a pathway. There's just a little pull off. There's a little sign with some maybe Indian name, and you don't know what you're missing or not missing. How are you going to know? So I get out my guide book, and I start through my guidebook reading. He's driving, and I'm sitting there going, okay, now just up ahead here, we're going to see, you know, the Bridal Veil Falls. And so when we're about to see it, and so we'd come by Falls, and I'd say, there it is, the Bridal Veil Falls. Well, the only thing about it was I wasn't really good working with the guide, and we had seen six waterfalls that I termed the Bridal Veil Falls before we actually got to the one. But eventually, I kind of got it worked out, and I started being able to follow the guidebook. And I did. I got really good at it. And I would, it would match up with where we were. And I'd say, now just up ahead here around this part. Okay, now we're going to pull off over there because we're going to hike through the woods. And you'd be hiking through woods and you'd be thinking, we're going nowhere. This is nothing. And you'd get there and you just, you couldn't talk. You'd be going, you know, because of the awesomeness. You know, we would see lakes that came from glaciers, and as they came off the glaciers, those glaciers are moving rocks through them, and they're picking up little fine pellets and little, really flakes of metal and all kinds of things out of these rocks. And so when this water flowed down into, made a lake, it's like almost a fine flower in the water, and it would reflect the sun, and it would be the most beautiful color of robin's egg blue you ever saw. Or it would be, it looked like the Caribbean. One place, it just had so many colors of blue and green. And you're thinking, we're in the highest peaks in Canada, and it looks like the Caribbean. How could it be? But I would have missed the whole thing if I hadn't followed the guide. Now, I like to think of the Holy Spirit in that way being my guide through life, because he's guiding me to the good stuff. Because not everybody knows where the good stuff is. And I'm telling you, you can just drive down the little highway of life and miss the good stuff. But the Holy Spirit is in us acting as a guide. And if you learn to cooperate with him, like I eventually learned to cooperate with my guidebook, you will eventually be able to find and spot, oh, some good stuff's right up here. I know it doesn't look like much good stuff. It looks like, you know, some gnarly trees and in a thicket and maybe, you know, an elk or two. But somewhere in there, I know if I'll just follow that pathway, I'll find some good stuff. And that's how he is in our lives. He is the guide. And he will guide you into all the truth, the whole and the full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell you whatever he hears from the Father. And he will give the message that has been given to him. I tell you, how many of you want to hear from God? Well, the way you hear from God is to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit, because that's what his ministry is all about. He will tell you whatever he hears from the Father. Oh, that's just, to me, that brings great comfort, because there are a lot of voices. You know, right now the Democratic National Convention is going on. And you listen to the speeches, and I mean, boy, they sound good. In just a few weeks, we're going to have the Republican National Convention, and I know I'm going to be sitting there, and I'm going to be thinking, man, this sounds good. I mean, people can say things, and they're all, you know, red, white, and blue, and stars and stripes, and it's like, man, it sounds great. How do I know what the truth is? Well, I'm telling you, the only way we're ever going to really know the truth is to get really acquainted with the Holy Spirit who's within us and let him lead us and guide us, because he is here to speak to us from the Father. And he will give whatever message has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, the things that will happen in the future. So that, to me, sounds like a pretty good deal. The Holy Spirit, he's given us the truth about what is, and he's given us clues about what is to be, what is to come, what's up ahead. That's all part of his ministry. Now, here's the thing I want you to see about all this. He's living in you. This isn't something like tonight we're going to have a line up here, and if you come up and give us $1,000, we're going to give you this special gift. No, it was a free gift. He moved inside of you when you were born again, and he's already in there. All these things that I've just talked about, it's already in you. He is in you. It's just a matter of finding out, realizing he's in there, what he's doing, and tuning in. And we're going to talk about the rest of the time tonight, we're going to talk about tuning in to him. We're going to talk about being led by him, because ultimately, the way that you're going to receive these messages from the outside world, these messages from the Father, that you're going to receive the truth, is as you hear from him, the Holy Spirit. And so as he imparts his truth to you, as he guides you and leads you and you follow him, I tell you, he will bring you to those really good spots in life, and you'll see. You'll learn, defined by listening to him, you'll learn to find the very best life has to offer, and you'll live a life that's extraordinary. That life Jesus talked about when he talked about the abundant life, that life that's above and beyond the ordinary life that people are doomed to live. We're not having to settle for that ordinary, do-nothing existence that people seem to be able to eke out here. No, we have been assured by Jesus that there's a much higher and greater life to be lived, the abundant life, and the way you live it is as you cooperate with the ministry of the Holy Spirit and follow His leading. Now, over in Romans, and you can turn over there if you want to. Romans chapter 8. This is an incredibly important scripture, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, it says, "For as many as are led." Now it's interesting, those words, "for as many," because that indicates to me, this is not talking about everybody. Everybody doesn't get this. Now this is interesting. This is written in the book of Romans. It's written by the Apostle Paul. He's writing it to the church at Rome. He's writing it to a church of Christians. But yet he doesn't say everybody over there at the churches in Rome. He's saying, by saying "for as many," there's some people that are going to tap into this. Some people are going to get the benefit of this. "For as many as are." There's some that are going to do this and some won't. And I could say that. Maybe there's some here tonight who'll do this and some won't. Maybe some of us will do it some of the time and won't do it the rest of the time. But he said here, "for as many as do, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God." Who is the Spirit of God? He's the helper, the paraclete, the one called alongside to help. He's the teacher, the one who's going to lead us and guide us into all the truth. He's the truth-giving Spirit. He's the one that hears what the Father says and communicates it to us. He's the one who shows us things that are to come. He's the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener. He's the one standing by us. This is who we're talking about. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," these folks who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, does that mean you're not born again if you're not led by the Spirit of God? No. Because, you know, according to the Scripture, you can call on the name of the Lord, you can believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess Jesus as your Lord, and you can go on your merry way and live your life pretty much the way that you want, led by whoever you want to lead you, and still get to go to heaven when you die. That's the grace of God. However, it says here, "for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And really, you could say it this way: for as many who are led by the Spirit of God, many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the ones that enjoy the benefits of being sons of God. Really has to do with the benefits. Just like I talked about, there's a highway that goes through Canada that's a great highway, but if you don't know what's just off the road, if you're not being led by the guide or the guidebook off the road, you're not really enjoying the full benefit of being on that road. You're still going from one end to the other, but I'm telling you, it's a lot better ride when you're following the guide, and it's the same way in your life. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, something else I can see from this. As children of God, we can expect Him to lead us by His Spirit. It's not outrageous, it's not outlandish to think that God is going to lead you. It should be a full, and you should fully be expecting the Spirit of God to lead you. You should wake up every morning, no matter what you did the night before or what you didn't do the night before, wake up every morning and expect the Spirit of God to lead you. That's part of who He is and what He does. And it's always, it's always there. We can expect Him to lead us. Now, as we follow His leading, we'll enjoy the benefits of being His sons and daughters. And here's the deal. He is ever leading us into the benefits of our salvation. He's always, His leading and guiding, and He's doing this all the time. Whether we've tapped into it, whether we're listening, whether we're following, whether we ever got out the book and looked or not, He's always leading us into the benefits of sonship. That's what He's doing. Now, what we're doing is up to us. But what He's doing is leading God's kids into the benefits of salvation. He's always doing that. That's His role and His deal. Now, I'm going to tell you, the quest in your life is not to get God to lead you. The quest in your life is not to get the Holy Spirit to lead you. That's taken care of. It's already done. That's happening. The quest in our lives, the quest for you and for me, is to learn to follow Him. Because He's already leading, so now here's the deal. Let's learn to follow Him. And I'm going to tell you, if you'll learn to follow Him, be assured He's always leading you into goodness. He's always leading you into God's best. He's always leading you to a better place than where you are right now. He's leading you into goodness and mercy. He's leading you into the benefits that God has provided for us so generously in Christ Jesus. Now, if we don't follow Him, you could ascertain by the Scripture, if you are not led by the Spirit of God, then you're not enjoying the benefits of being sons and daughters of God. If we don't follow Him, we're going to miss out on what God has provided for us. Now, let's just think for a minute. What has He provided for us? What does God have for us? What are some of the benefits of salvation? I mean, here's a benefit of salvation: health. Now, how does the Holy Spirit and His leading have anything to do with health? Well, I tell you, somebody told me this not long ago. A few weeks ago, somebody told me this story. They said, you know, I was going about my life, living my life, had some situations going on, just living like I normally do, kind of hectic, kind of stressful. That's my life. I said, but in the middle of the day, one day, I noticed there was kind of a tightness in my chest. I've had tightness in my chest before. But something about that, it just, on the inside of me, I thought, I need to check this out. I need to do something. Said, I've had it before, but something about it this time, I just knew on the inside, I felt like God was speaking to me on the inside. This is the Holy Spirit. This is how He leads us and guides us into the benefits of sonship. Said, I just knew on the inside of me, I needed to do something about it. And so I just went right then. I just went to the emergency room. And through a series of events, they did tests and found out, guess what? Big clogs in the old arteries. So they were able to do some things. The doctors were able to do some things and do just a few little, you know, here's and there's. You know how they kind of pour liquid plumber in and shake you up good and all that stuff they do to you. And they were able to clean it out and send them on their merry way. No heart attack. They weren't taken out in the prime of life. They were cleaned out. That was the Holy Spirit helping this person, moving this person into a benefit of sonship. You might think, well, that's not any big deal. Oh, really? Oh, really? I know somebody that just in the last 3 weeks, just in the prime of life, he was gone. Major heart attack. Kaboom, yeah, gone. So, you know, I got the two stories. One of them, God's leading me to do this, and their life was preserved, and this other person's gone. I'm telling you, God will preserve your life. The Holy Spirit is leading you towards the benefits of sonship, one of which is health. Well, what are some of the other things He leads you to? I tell you, He leads you to peace. He knows where you can get peace in your life, and He'll lead you to peace. He'll lead you to prosperity. I tell you, God knows. He knows where a job situation is for you, where a vocation is, where you will do well, and you will prosper, and you will get ahead, and you will move along the road. He knows how to guide you and help you get into that. I just know that He's always working for our good, and He's doing something, leading us somewhere where we can not just be blessed ourselves, but so we can be a blessing to other people. You know, Mike and Claire are sitting here, and I've known them longer than I think probably anybody else here. And when I met Mike and Claire, Mike didn't know he could sing. And Claire, she just knew how to have babies, but she didn't know she could teach kids. And I'm just thinking, you know, they lived in California. And they kept thinking about moving to Augusta. Her sister lived out here. And they weren't even particularly close to her sister. All their family's out there except for her sister who's here. And they just had it in their heart. Listen to the words I'm using. Had it in their heart to move out here to Augusta. And so eventually, after a lot of praying and making sure this is God, they moved to Augusta. When they got to Augusta, they're like, now what are we going to do? Now we're here in Augusta. And there was no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. What are we going to do now? Well, they just kept that same Holy Spirit that led them out here. He led them to go to a church. And they got to that church, and it was nice and fine. But they're sitting there looking in the bulletin. And in the bulletin, it says that they're on Wednesday nights, they're having classes at this church. And they're having a class on something. And it just kind of caught their eye. And they, you know, and they tell me later, I'm not really even sure why, but we just knew we had to go to that class. And they came to that class. And guess who was teaching that class? Pastor Matt and me were teaching that class. And they came to that class. And they started hearing things they'd never heard before. And they started going, wow. And it didn't take them long to figure out. The reason they moved from California was to come to this Wednesday night class in Augusta. I'm taking a little poetic license here. They're just, you know, and they're here. And, you know, and I look and I see what God has done in their life as they've grown and as they've embraced the Word and learned and grown and matured and the things of God through being obedient to the Holy Spirit as He led them step by step. Now Mike, he found out he could sing. We convinced him he could. And now he's leading worship. And Claire just got back from going to Mexico, which we're going to hear more about later. She just got back Sunday night. She's been in Mexico. She's gone to 14 villages in Mexico and done vacation Bible schools for children down in the southern part of Mexico, some of whom had never heard of Jesus, some in villages where there had never been a missionary. And Claire's down there. She's the missionary bringing the gospel to these kids. And she was just living out in California, just kind of living that, you know, life that we all kind of live, until she started following the Holy Spirit. And as she and Mike followed the Holy Spirit, he started lifting them up into a life that's beyond the ordinary. Because I'm going to tell you, to go and bring the gospel to people who've never heard it is a life way beyond the ordinary. I'm telling you, there's no house and no car and no bank account that could even in any way compare to taking the gospel to an unreached person, seeing their life changed. That's a life way beyond the ordinary. And she moved into that because she followed the Holy Spirit. That's one of the benefits of sonship, one of the benefits of salvation. And she got to enjoy it because she started following that leading in the Holy Spirit. I mean, there's favor. That's part of the benefits we have. Favor. And, you know, I'm telling you, if you'll follow the Holy Spirit, He'll hook you up with who you need to be hooked up with that you didn't even know you needed to be hooked up with. He'll lead you to places, and you'll meet people in the strangest spots. Just the person you needed. You know, we were dealing with a situation some time ago. It was a legal situation, and we weren't really sure. It was an area we were unfamiliar with, and nobody that we knew much about it. And so we were perplexed. And so when you're perplexed, it's so good to remember who's living in you, because He's not perplexed. He knows what to do. And so Matt just kept feeling like he needed to call somebody, this person. But you know, the funny thing was that person had no knowledge at all about legal matters or anything to do with what we were dealing with. But he just kept sensing, I need to call this person. So he finally just gave it up, so to speak, followed the Holy Spirit, and called this person. Well, he wasn't even 2 minutes into the conversation when this person said, you know, I don't know anything about that, but I know the guy who does. And he put him in touch with the guy who, it turned out to be, was the foremost authority on this in the country, and hooked him right up. And he didn't know. I mean, he's just like, you know, wandering around trying to figure out life. But the Holy Spirit, as he just followed the Holy Spirit, he just hooked him up right along the way. One connection to another, that's the favor of God. He works like that if you will follow Him. So that's a benefit that we would have missed, that he wouldn't have even gotten, you know, had any clue about had he not followed the Holy Spirit who lives within him. You know, long life. There's a deal. There's a benefit. Protection. He will protect you. He will have you be, you know, not be at the wrong place at the wrong time. And He will protect you in all kinds of ways. You know, I heard a story about a man that had been driving the same route every day home from work. He would go home every day the same way, which probably most of us do, have a route we go home. And he would go home that way. Well, he came home one day and he told his family, he said, you know, I just feel like I don't need to be, you know, I don't need to go the same way home. I just feel like God's leading me to go a different way home. And he tells his family that. And so I don't know why he told him that, but he told him that. So he goes back to work, you know, the next day. Well, about 2 weeks later, he's coming home. But he's not going home the different way that the Holy Spirit was leading him to go. He was going home the same old way that he always went home. And he pulls out into the intersection that he's been in hundreds of times, and a guy ran through the red light and kaboom, yow, and it killed him. There was a man who missed out on the benefits of sonship. See, the Holy Spirit was dealing with him weeks before, trying to help him avoid being right there. See, because the devil knew, he's, you know, at 4:15 every afternoon, he's in the middle of that intersection. I can just get a guy drunk enough to run into him and take his life. And the Holy Spirit was trying to help him avoid the whole thing, but he ignored the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he didn't become the Son of God. So it's serious. But if you will follow it, you will get the benefits of being a child of God. And so it's a marvelous thing to be a child of God. Now, to follow Him, it's great how we're talking about following Him, but you know, if you're going to follow Him, you got to first hear Him. You got to hear Him. And so you know, we have to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit. Well, the good news is that the Bible says that Jesus is the good shepherd. And he said, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd and my sheep know my voice. How do you get to be a sheep of his, you know, and him be your shepherd? When you're born again, you get to be a sheep and he's your shepherd. So that's good news, because suddenly this whole thing about trying to hear from God just got a lot simpler, because Jesus said, my sheep, they know my voice. And I'm so thankful that we're sheep. When you're born again, he's your shepherd. And within you, whether you've realized it or not, within you is the ability to discern, the ability to know, the ability to distinguish his voice. So that's good news. Now, the first step to learning to follow the Holy Spirit is you have to first follow the written word. Some people like to jump over this. Some people hear about following the Holy Spirit and they just get wacky right away. But I'm going to tell you, you got to first learn to follow the written word. That's where you start. And I'm going to tell you, you don't ever get past that. You always follow the written word. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet, and your word is a light unto my path. So we're always, as long as we're on his path for us, we're always going to be following his word. He speaks to us through his word, through the scripture. God speaks to us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us through the scripture. So that's where you start. And that's where you stay. You don't get away from that. But you can then learn other things that go along with that. And here's another thing that goes along with that. You start with the word. You learn to follow the word. And you act on his word, act in line with his word. And he will lead you. And then you will come to a point where you realize something else is going on here. It's not just the word, but there's something inside of me happening. In my insides, in really where the real you is, in your spirit, down inside. God doesn't lead you in your head. He leads you in your spirit. And your spirit lives inside of you, inside of your body. And he will lead you in your spirit. And most often, he leads you by what the scripture refers to as the inward witness. And it's right here in chapter 8 of Romans. You're right there. Just look at verse 16. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. You see right there, it says we're the Spirit of God. He's in us, and he's bearing witness with us, with our spirit. See, it's a spirit to spirit. He's the Holy Spirit talking to our spirit. He's bearing witness with us that we are children of God. Now, how many of you know you're a child of God? Well, guess what? If you know you're a child of God, you know how to follow the inward witness. You know how to follow the Holy Spirit. You know how to hear from God, because it all really is that simple. You know, you have a knowing and an assurance on the inside that you're a child of God. You are really, what's happening is the Spirit of God who lives within you is bearing witness to your spirit, or he's assuring or giving confidence to your spirit, assuring your spirit that you're a child of God. That's why you have a knowing. Because I would dare say that most of us here tonight know, not just because we followed some written words in the Bible, how many of you know that you know on the inside that you're a child of God? That's because the Holy Spirit in you is bearing witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. Yes, we have the word, but we have something else too. We have an assurance on the inside. We have a witness on the inside. Now, that's what I'm talking about. That witness that's on the inside, he will bear witness to you about all kinds of things, not just that you're a child of God. He'll bear witness to you that this is the right job for you, or this is the right way to go to work, or, you know, that this is the right move for you, or this is the right guidebook to buy, or whatever it is. He will bear witness with you. If you'll look on the inside, he's in there bearing witness. There is inside of us an internal conviction. You could say it that way, an internal conviction. That internal conviction starts with, I'm saved. I'm convinced that I'm saved. I'm convinced. And within us, we have an internal conviction that the Holy Spirit, he's in there giving us that internal conviction that we're saved. And the same way he leads us with that, he's going to lead us and give us that same conviction concerning other things. And really, it's just simply his spirit inside of us verifying. I'll just say it that way. Verifying that we're doing the right thing, going the right way. Going the right way, doing the right thing. I just keep thinking of my daughter's been in Latin, and I've been learning some Latin words. And when I said verify, I just realized that the word verify is the word in Latin Neil, maybe this means something to you. What is it? Which means truth. That's right. When I just read the word verify, I just saw, actually, it's truth. He is the truth-giving spirit. He is verifying within us. He's saying, this is true. This is right. This is godly. This is just. This is truth. He's verifying inside of each of us that this is the right thing or the wrong thing. And he will, whatever you have going on in your life, the Bible says in all our ways we acknowledge him. If you will acknowledge him, you'll look on the inside and say, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. What do you think about this, Holy Spirit? What's the guidebook say? What are you saying, guide? Is this a good turnoff or not? Should I go straight? Should I speed up? Should I slow down? Should we just get off the road and spend the night? What are you saying here? If you look to him on the inside, he will verify what you should do. He'll give you the truth of the matter. And that's what you're looking for. You're wanting the truth of the matter. What is it he's saying? He'll give you the truth of the matter. And it tells us if we're making a good choice or going the right way. Now, all of us should just decide. If we haven't decided before, decide right now. And maybe if you've decided before and gotten away from it, just go ahead and decide again. I'm going to make it a practice in my life to check things out with the Holy Spirit inside of me. I'm going to make it a practice. I'm going to practice this. This is going to be me. This is what I do. This is my routine. This is my MO. I check things out with the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. And before I step out, before I move, before I go off in what I think is right, I'm going to see what it is he's leading me to do. Because I know he's going to give me the truth. And I know he's got a good way. He's going to lead me into a benefit, you know, of sonship. He's got something good for me. I'm going to look at him. So it's just as simple as when you're making decisions, and I probably taught you this before several times, when you're making decisions, he's going to give you an indication of what God's will is. And so his dissent, you know, or his no might just be as simple as a red light on the inside of you. It might just be that. It might be just on the inside. There's just a red lighter. Maybe it's, you know, David mentioned he liked racing. Maybe it's just you getting a yellow flag. Just the slow down. Just ease up here a minute. Or on the other hand, it might be a green light. It might be an urgency or an unction, like go ahead, full steam ahead. It might be an uneasiness, or it might be you're getting, you know, the go ahead, the okay, proceed with caution. I don't know, just on the inside of you, there's going to be some kind of indication on the inside of you as to what you should do, if this is what you should do, and if it is, then what speed you should proceed. There's going to be some indications about it. And the best thing that I know to do, and this is what I've learned to do, is if I'm making a decision, I just take a little baby step. I don't just, you know, back up and run off the cliff and hope that that was God. Because, you know, I've seen people go splat at the bottom, and I'm not really wanting to do that. I'm wanting to make sure that this is God. And so I want to take a little step and see, is this you? And I'll take another little step and here. And what I have found is, as I take those steps, that sense of what he's saying to me on the inside, his red light, green light, his verification on the inside of me, it gets stronger. There have been things that it was just very slight that this was not the thing to do. So I just stopped. But time moved on. And over a period of time, it became very evident that that was what I, you know, shouldn't be doing, that I shouldn't be doing that. But at that moment, it was just ever so slight. But over time, his leading will bear out. That unction to do something will get stronger. The uneasiness, you'll start seeing, if you keep going in the wrong direction, the uneasiness will grow. And that's how he leads us. But you have to be sensitive, because I'm going to tell you, the human will can very easily override the leading of the Holy Spirit. Your human will just bowl right over the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is gentle. In some ways he's subtle. In some ways he is, just kind of there if you'll look to him. But he does not, you know, like I've said many times, you don't wake up one morning and ruby red lipstick, it's written on your lipstick. I mean, written on your mirror. It's not how he works. He works from the inside, just with encouragement on the inside, an unction, just but, you know, not like a band playing on the inside. Now, so that's what we're going to do. We're going to make it our practice to check things out with them. Now, Over in the book of Acts, chapter 15, there's a passage there, and it's also, you know, Luke, the Apostle Luke wrote the book of Acts. He also did this in the book of Luke. He talked about the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he used these words. He would talk about something, and in this case, in Acts 15, he talked about Silas, and he was making a decision about whether to stay or whether to depart, you know, from to leave where he was and go to another place. And so it just said, it used these words, it said it just seemed right for him to remain there and to stay. And so that's a way you could look at it. Like, it just seems right. Now, I'm not talking about human logic. You got out your legal pad and you put down the pros and the cons and worked it all out. And there's not anything wrong with writing down the pros and the cons. But don't let that be the final authority. Look on the inside. But so he talked about, he used those words, it seemed right. And that's how it will be sometimes. It'll just seem like the right thing to do. It'll just seem good. Just seem right. Now, having peace in your heart plays a pivotal role in being led by the Holy Spirit. Colossians 3:15, I'll read it to you from the Amplified. It says, "And let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule, act as empire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. In that peaceful state to which members of Christ's one body, you were also called to live." So you were called to live in peace and be thankful and appreciative, giving praise to God always. But it says there in the first part of that scripture, it says, let the peace from Christ, let the peace of God, the translation say, let it act as an umpire continually. Now, Matt just mentioned a minute ago that he's a big baseball fan, and I'm not really, but I do know enough about baseball. Now, Kelly, do you umpire baseball too? I figured this out. The umpire, he doesn't hit the ball, and he doesn't catch the ball, and he doesn't run the bases. His job when he's on the field is to say, is that a strike? Is that a foul? He's there to make a ruling over on what's happening. He's there not to make the shots, not to throw the ball, not to hit, but he's there to make a ruling. And everybody on the field, if anything happens, they look to him to make a ruling. Because everybody has got their own opinion about what might be going on, but what he says is what really is the ruling. What he says is what goes. And that's how peace should be in our lives. We should let that peace that comes from God call the shots in our lives. In other words, it's just this easy. Well, I don't know if it's easy, but it's this simple. It's a simple thing. You have to establish a level or a standard of peace in your life. And that's difficult for many people. Many people, they don't understand what I'm even talking about because they don't have peace. They're used to living in turmoil and drama. They're used to going from one just blow up to another. But you're going to have to walk away from that kind of living if you're going to be led by the peace of God, if you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to walk away and give up your drama queen life. And you're going to have to embrace the fact that to live in communion with God is to live a life of peace. And so you have to establish a life of peace, an element of peace, a standard of peace in your life. And if you can establish a standard of peace in your life, I tell you, you have got such an advantage in being led by the Holy Spirit. Because what happens is when you have peace right here, and then you recognize something's happening with my peace. I'm not at peace. You're in the middle of the afternoon and something's disturbing the peace. And I mean the peace on the inside. Now, I'm going to tell you, the world around you can be in turmoil, but you be at peace. I'm not talking about everything has to be totally in order in every way. I'm talking about on the inside of you, you got to have peace. And if something's disturbing the peace on the inside of you, then you start looking around in your life to see what's going on, what's happened, what new thing, what new person just showed up, what decision have I just made? What's coming into the horizon of my life? What's just fallen in my lap? What's going on here? What have I stepped out to do? Or what is it I'm not doing that I've been thinking about doing, that I've been hesitating to do? And you start examining those things and looking again to the tutor, the truth-giving spirit, the convictor on the inside, the one, the inward witness on the inside, and let him show you, well, this is the thing, this thing over here, or that thing there. You need to back up, step up, get off. Step off, whatever it is. And look and see what's disturbing the peace. So this whole deal about having peace is you got to guard your peace. And if any time your peace is being disrupted, you let that be an alert to you. Just like on the inside of you a siren was going off, you let it be an alert to you that something here is not right. Something here I got to make a change or back up from or move forward in. Something here I got to, and what you just have to do is you have to stop and slow down and listen on the inside of you, because you don't want to go against that piece. You know, and I'm gonna just throw this in right here. If you're being pressured, a lot of times the devil will use pressure. The enemy uses pressure to overcome your peace and help you, you know, encourages you. That's the way the devil will encourage you. He'll use pressure to encourage you to go against your peace. I know a friend of mine recently had a situation where they were called upon to do something very serious. They were called by a relative's family. They had been the person listed as the person to decide if this person was ever on life support, and it looked like they might need to be unhooked from the life support. They were the person that was going to decide. And this was kind of a distant relative. It wasn't like their mother or father. And so this was kind of a strange situation. And so they walk into it with people who know the person even better than they do, and now they've got to make a decision. And they get there, and that's not a light thing to decide, whether we're going to unplug them or not. But there was pressure there. The doctors are saying, you know, this is, we got to do something here, and you got the family and they're grieving, and you got the people at the funeral home ready to send over the hearse. You know, you got the whole deal going on. There's pressure. Do it, do it. But this person told me, he said, I just decided I'm not doing a thing till I have peace about it. And I admire that. That's somebody who's learned what peace is all about, how to follow the Holy Spirit, because they just waited. They didn't let the pressure take over. They followed the peace. And I don't care what kind of pressure you're getting. I'm going to tell you, I trust God. He's big enough that if I get too fast or get too slow, He's a big enough God. In my sincere attempt to follow Him, if I'm too fast or too slow, He's a big enough God to work things out anyway. He is. If He can make that Red Sea stand up on end, He's a big enough God to fix my deal. If I'm trying to hear from Him and I'm listening and looking, He's a big enough God to do that. So don't get under that pressure of I got to act now or it's all lost. I'm going to tell you, the devil loves to use pressure. God, He's not a big pressure God. God, pressure and God really don't go together. Pressure, it really goes with the devil. So just kind of remember that. That'll help you. Couple of other things. We have a conscience, which is another way of saying an inward voice, to help us to know right from wrong. Sometimes you might, the Bible talks about the still small voice that comes from the inside. That's your spirit speaking to you. Your spirit man, which is the part of you that was born again, when you were born again, it knows right from wrong. The real you on the inside knows right from wrong. So why don't you like listen on the inside instead of listening to, you know, your flesh or all of the, or your television set, listen to your inward voice, your conscience, and you'll know how to live for God and be able to obey God's principles for living, because God does deal with us spirit to spirit. He doesn't come out here and talk to you. And that's the thing you need to know. God doesn't talk outside your ear. God talks to you from the inside, and His leading will come up inside of you. It doesn't come from out here. And when you're hearing things out here, and I'm telling you, there are times in your life where you literally, even though there's nobody there, you almost can hear voices. But they're so strong, these thoughts coming to you from outside. That's not God. God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of us, and His leading and His directions come up inside of us. They come up from the inward part of us. I'm going to just close by saying these things you need to know. All leadings of the Holy Spirit that you perceive, they must every time be judged in light of the written word. And I don't care what great reason you have as to why you're the exception to the word, I'm going to tell you, you aren't. You have to obey what the word says. And the 1 Corinthians 5:21 says, test all things and hold fast what is good. And I could put this on there, and the things that aren't good, get rid of them, because you hold fast to what's good. But here's the deal. If you don't know what the scripture says, you can be easily deceived. Now, I just want to mention this because, again, you know, we teach this on a real, you know, pretty regular basis around here, but I'm amazed at how often people who've heard this message and messages like this still get mixed up and don't realize how God leads and how He doesn't lead. And I'm going to just tell you four ways He does not lead. And you need to know this, and don't think you're the exception to this rule, because I'm going to tell you, you'll get in trouble if you don't know this. Four ways the Holy Spirit does not lead us. He does lead us by the inward witness, bearing witness with us, You know, but for most people, for many people, I should say, many people, that's just not glamorous enough. That's just not, you know, radical enough. They want a radical God. Well, he was radical 2,000 years ago, but he's not radical every moment of every day. He's more nudging than he is blatantly shoving. And so, four ways he does not lead us. Number one, he does not lead by what I call the open door, closed door method. That's just a simple way of saying, the door opened, and so that must be God, and I'll walk through it. Or, you know, I thought that I wanted to do that, but there's no opportunity, so I'm going to just give up and do something else. God does not lead by the open door, closed door method. There are times when there's doors that are open that you shouldn't go through them. There's other times there's doors that are closed, and you need to stand there and speak to the door to open. So you can't go by that. And that's just really another way of saying number two, God doesn't lead by circumstances. And so you don't want to be led by circumstances. Things like this. It's amazing to me, people who are Spirit-filled people who've been in churches where they've been taught about the leading of the Holy Spirit, and how they'll tell me the story about, well, you know, I was just kind of thinking that, you know, I felt like God was dealing with me about something, and I just said, well, you know, God, if you want me to call her, then when I go over to dial the phone and I pick up the phone and I call her house, let her answer by the third ring, because if she don't answer by the third ring, I'll know it's not you and I'm going to hang up. I'm going to tell you, that ain't how God leads. And if you're living your life that way, you're deceived. And I know people love to get hokey pokey spiritually, but I'm going to tell you, don't live that way. God leads you on the inside. He doesn't lead by ringing telephones and horns blowing and bluebirds on the patio. He doesn't. And you're going to get way messed up if you follow those things. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil can ring the telephone. Now, something else you need to know. The Holy Spirit does not lead through prophecy. And New Testament prophecy has nothing to do with being directed by God. New Testament prophecy, if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Bible says it's given for edification. That means to charge you up, for exhortation, and for comfort. It doesn't say anything in there about being directed. So prophecy is not to direct. If anybody ever prophesies to you, you know, brother, I see you doing this thing, I see you doing that thing, I'm going to tell you, you just say, hallelujah, praise the Lord, and give them a kiss on the cheek and walk away. And if it ever means something to you in the future, fine, but if it doesn't, fine too. Because you're being led by the Holy Spirit who lives in you. Now, I'm going way out on a limb here. Claire, you just spent 10 days south of the border in Mexico using bathrooms where there was no toilet seat. Let me ask you a question. Did you go to Mexico because somebody directed you to by a word of prophecy? You didn't. You mean pastor never stood up and said, Claire, hear ye, go thou to Mexico. Why did you go? Did it just seem right? Did you have a green light? Did you take baby steps? You didn't just run, just jump off the cliff? See, that's how the Holy Spirit, he doesn't lead by prophecy. And I'm going to tell you, I know people who got married because their youth pastor told them, this is the person for you. And I'm going to tell you, I know some miserable people. So I don't care who it is, you are not led by prophecy. If the first time you heard it was out there. Now, I've had people prophesy to me things that it was like they just read what was being said inside. But I'm going to tell you, even that doesn't move me. I'm still going by this, you know, the unction of the Holy Spirit inside me. He will confirm to you, but the leading is all in here. And if nothing out there ever confirms it, his leading is still in here. And then lastly, you need to know this. Very rarely does God give spectacular guidance, either through divine appearances, meaning anything from a burning bush to Jesus walked in the room. Very rarely does that happen. I'm going to tell you, just go ahead and figure out. It's not going to happen to you. And then if it ever does, it's just the cherry on top. But it just doesn't happen. This is not New Testament. He doesn't need to do that. He lives in you. Why does Jesus need to walk down the hall and walk in your room? He lives inside of you. The only reason he would need to do that is if you're in a real place of ignorance. And you're not. Because you're here on, you know, you're hearing this. So I know you're not. He doesn't lead by visions. It's not scriptural to be led by visions in the sense of what people have made it out to be. Very rarely does that happen. It does happen, has happened, and you can find a couple times in the scripture, but it's never promised to the believers. Dreams. There's this whole big thing going on where everybody's out trying to interpret their dreams. I'm going to tell you, Spirit of God, it doesn't say in here He's going to lead you by dreams. And I'm going to tell you, if you got to ask somebody what they think your dream meant, then forget it. If God ever gives you a dream and it's from Him, He'll give you an interpretation of it. And that's the deal. But a lot of people, they get so mixed up. Just hearing from God the old-fashioned inward witness way just doesn't seem to be too intriguing anymore. And we got to all get together and analyze our dreams. I'm going to tell you, a lot of people are analyzing dreams. And many of them don't know Jesus. And so don't get messed up. I'm going to tell you, we're living at the end of the age where there's a lot of, stuff that just is hooked up and, mixed up here together. Stay with the Word. Dreams or angels. And if an angel walks in and gives you some big word or he tells you this or that, I'm telling you, who cares? If it doesn't line up with the Word, who cares? We have what the Bible says. It calls it, the Word, a more sure word. And this is a more sure word than anything you could ever get. Even if a ball of fire fell from heaven right here, we have a more sure word than anything would come out of that ball of fire. Even if it's real, just because the ball of fire real don't make it right. It might be real, it doesn't make it right. So you need to know that. Because we're living in a weird time. I need to tell you these things. We're not promised any of these things in the Scripture. They should never be sought after. We should never attempt to interpret our dreams because you're just getting yourself opened up there to wackiness. And I'm going to tell you, there are just a lot of things happening in this world, even in the name of Christianity, that have nothing to do with the Spirit of God. So I want you to stay with the Word. You won't go wrong with the Word. You won't. And I'm going to tell you, even following the inward witness, which you think you're following God, sometimes you'll miss it. But the Word never misses it. I've had times where I thought for sure this was going, and it turned out later, oh yeah, I had it all monkeyed up. Because, my mind can monkey things up. But the Word is a sure thing. And He is the truth-giving Spirit. And if you figure out you got mixed up, just get right back with Him. Don't lose your confidence. Stay with Him. Praise God. Well, we went a little bit longer than we should have maybe, but nevertheless, we did it. Y'all stand up and we'll just pray.